Hello.
Hi there, it's Matt Davis.
Hey, Matt.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Doing good. Did I get the right group of people?
Yeah, this is it.
Great. Well, here's the story. Actually, it's been a especially quiet day until about a half hour ago. We had one of our editors who's avid went down. So I might get interrupted, which I might have to put you on hold. But I'll try to keep it a short break. And if it gets too interruptive, maybe we can schedule a part two some other time.
Yeah, definitely. That's no problem. Cool. Well, we've got about six of us here.
Six, good. I was worried. I imagined in my head it could be anywhere from a couple of people to like a whole classroom full of individuals.
No, luckily, yeah, this week we had got smaller numbers.
Well, six is a good number.
Yep, it is.
Tell me first, if we could start then, I'd love to hear who's there. If you want to quickly tell me your name and what you want to do in film.
Cool.
That might help give me a good point of reference.
All right, we'll just go off. Go ahead and start.
Okay, my name is Michelle McKinley, and I want to go into editing.
Great.
All right.
I'm Sean Chandler. I'm going to editing as well.
My name is Jake Sorensen. I'm here from Utah. I live here in Utah. I'm also focusing on editing.
My name's Devin Graham. I'm from Portland, Oregon. I'm focusing on cinematography, and next thing would be editing.
And I'm Nolan Sutherland, and I'm interested in narrative editing.
And I'm Mark Gillens, and also going into editing, and I'll take whatever. And that's it.
That's great.
Yep.
Well, I'm glad you guys seem to have an interest in editing, then. I might be able to get kind of specific with you, and you guys might know what I'm talking about. But if I start saying something that doesn't make sense, or if I start talking in animation terms that aren't too familiar, just feel free to stop me anytime.
Okay, cool. Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you kind of got doing what you're doing and all that stuff.
Okay, right now I'm the post-production director at Sony Pictures Animation. In some ways I'm actually doing right now what I've always wanted to do in film. When I was younger I had a very strong interest in animation, and animation became like a springboard into other types of film, and I became very interested in film as a storytelling medium. So even though I had this interest in animation, I didn't really have an interest in art per se, or in developing an artistic skill. So on the side, both in high school and later in college, I made animated films on my own, and when it came time to look for a job, I became a little nervous because I felt like I was a square peg trying to fit into a round hole. I was someone interested in animation who didn't draw. So I even remember when I was at BYU, a recruiter from Disney came by, and he really came to visit design department people, but I made sure I think I was the only person from film who made sure I was there and asked a lot of questions about the animation process. And I remember asking in a room full of people to the recruiter, "What kind of jobs do you have for someone who doesn't draw?" And the person literally said, "We really don't have jobs for people who don't draw," which I couldn't find fathomable, but it made my made me very discouraged. So I figured, okay, no matter what, they need someone to be a janitor at these studios. They need someone to make runs. I'll do whatever it takes to get into animation. So when the time came for me to graduate, DreamWorks was kind of a new company. I kind of liked what I'd heard about them, and I knew a bit about what it is they wanted to do, so I kept calling DreamWorks every single day. Got to know the human resources people very well, and said, I'll do anything. I got to know them on a first-name basis. I had to try to convince them I'm not a crazy person who just kept calling them every single day. So they'd get a weekly phone call from me, and I was very persistent about wanting to target going to DreamWorks. It took a long time. It felt like an eternity at the time, but maybe about 2 to 3 months, and finally they called me in, and based upon my interest in animation but not my interest in art, they said, "Well, we have the perfect thing for you here. There is a entire hierarchy of producers and production managers where you can work your way up. It's suited for people who don't draw, who want to fulfill a traditional role as like a producer, and they're particularly interested in finding people who have an interest in animation, because it's difficult, or at least they said at the time, it's difficult to find people who like animation, because most people who find a job in production management and animation are using it as a way just to get into the real job they want to get in live action. So after spending a short time at DreamWorks, I was fortunate to be promoted fairly quickly from production assistant to production coordinator, where I worked in several different departments. But one department where I became very interested in was the editorial department. The thing that made editorial particularly interesting at a place like DreamWorks is, first of all, in animation, you have to edit all of the movies ahead of time. So you're literally making all of the editing and story decisions months and sometimes years before any of the animators work on the film. So for someone like Jeffrey Katzenberg, editorial was the department where he spent the vast majority of his time and where he made his decisions. And it got to the point where if he wanted to make a decision on a piece of artwork or animation, he stayed in editorial, and people brought the stuff into editorial to show Jeffrey Katzenberg. And he very much had an interest in every part of the process. So as the editorial production manager, I got to sit next to Jeffrey Katzenberg as he went about his process, and I got to observe what it was that he did as a producer in animation. And so fulfilling a role in editorial like that became something of a career for me. In about 2002, 2003, after having worked on a few movies in editorial, where I worked on pretty much all of their 2D animated movies. I worked a little bit on movies like Shrek and others, although they were primarily produced up north at the DreamWorks PDI studio. After spending a few movies in editorial, I began to see ways that I wanted to improve the process that was difficult to change after DreamWorks had gone through building up certain things in their infrastructure for several movies. They were more reluctant to change and do some of the things that I felt would make editorial more efficient. Well, I talked a lot to a couple of producers who worked at DreamWorks. Their names were Sandy Rabins and Penny Finkelman Cox, who shortly thereafter left DreamWorks to form Sony Pictures Animation. And I told them, hey, if you ever want someone to start up editorial for you, keep me in mind. And less than a year later, they called me up and said, how would you like a ground floor opportunity? And I said, sure. So I followed them over. I was one of the first people that they brought over from DreamWorks. And at first, I was involved with everything that any startup is, you know, everything from where does the coffee maker go, what kind of refreshments are we going to buy, how are we going to get this movie made, and eventually adding more movies to the slate moved me into a position where I oversaw editorial for all of the shows and was less day-to-day on the individual movies. So that's where I'm at now, and that kind of gives you a little bit of my backstory. No one's asleep there, are they?
No.
I don't know how to make the stories entertaining sometimes. I don't consider myself one of the more electric personalities. I work around a lot of interesting personalities. I don't necessarily consider myself one of them.
That's okay. Cool. Do you have any, like, just I guess off the bat, is there anything that you felt like you wanted to talk about with us, or any advice you have to a bunch of people going into post-production?
Yeah, well, how familiar would you be necessarily in how animation editorial works? Would that be something totally new, or what would the familiarity level be on something like that?
I think we'd kind of like to know about that. We mainly know about film, and we haven't done anything with animation.
Great. Let me start in on it. If this is really dumbed down, tell me to speed up. If I need to back up, let me know.
Okay.
In animation, when you start to produce a movie, and this is irrespective, first of all, of any development work you do, whether that be script-based work or you decide to turn a book into a movie. In general, by the way, animation tends to not be very script-based, which drives a lot of producers crazy, but for people in animation, that's the only way they know of how to make a Shrek or a Lion King, is to go about a very tedious evolutionary process. that's not necessarily someone in a room writing a script. In fact, I was trying to think of an example with a bunch of my associates here. None of us can really think of a spec script that was done for an animated feature that was then produced. Some scripts have been written, and they've turned into a movie. Screenwriters have been hired to punch up dialogue, but there hasn't been someone who sat down, wrote a movie, and then produced it. Like, the closest thing to something like that would be like a Brad Bird up at Pixar. So the way our process tends to work is once they decide on a idea that they like, and often there is a script that's written, it just doesn't become the basis for all the work that follows. They hire three big departments. That's the story department, the visual development department, and the editorial department. The jobs of the three departments are, the story department is, these are the artists who draw the individual storyboard panels, and if you've seen any of the documentaries about, you know, how Disney makes movies, it hasn't changed very much in the past 70 years. They have the story artists draw these panels, they pin them up on boards, they give a very hilarious, fun-filled story pitch, and then that material gets scanned or photographed, depending upon what your pipeline is, and those individual boards, drawings, and panels get sent to editorial. I mentioned another department called visual development. They do key artwork and give a look of the movie, and a lot of that artwork also filters into editorial. So what you have is editorial is a recipient of all these different materials, static artwork, storyboard panels, a list of dialogue, and then editorial has to go record temporary dialogue with whoever we can find, either the storyboard artist who pitched it, one of the directors themselves will get in front of a microphone, and they will read all of the lines in scratch form, so that editorial has to build from zero an entire movie. The whole movie has to be laid out in this storyboard form in order to serve as the guide for all the animation that follows. It's actually a very fun part of the process to see the movie come together the way it does. What makes it tedious and frustrating for some is that feature animation has become a world of continual changes, so that it's not just that you're trying to put the movie together and then you're done. What you're really doing is going through the process over and over and over again, so that once you build an entire movie out of these storyboards, your schedule becomes screening driven, where a producer will say, here's what we need to do. We need to make modifications to the following sequences. We need to throw Act 3 out the window because it's not working, and we need to have all of this done in the next 3 months. So editorial becomes a place where people work for very long hours on one given day, and then on another given day they'll work very short hours because they'll be waiting for a storyboard artist to actually draw the material, and editorial will have to sometimes wait for this for the sequences to arrive. How's this sounding over there?
Good.
Sounding good.
Yeah.
The question I had for you was, to what extent does your department actually go? Like, do they decide we're going to do a close-up here and a long shot there? Or, I mean, how do you go about deciding how to edit it beforehand?
If the process is working, the directors and the storyboard artists will actually determine that ahead of time. They know from the storyboards roughly what the camera angles are, whether it's going to be a two-shot or not. But once it gets to editorial and we determine it's not working, sometimes the editor has to salvage from existing material something that'll work. Many of the editors who we have, and most of them have some kind of live-action experience, many of them have come to animation and have stayed here and liked it because there's a creative element that's different from traditional editing. Whereas with traditional editing, it's been shot, here's your, you know, they draw this box and you have to make it work with whatever elements you have. In editorial and animation, you're very much making recommendations to directors and say, you know what would be really great is if we had an over-the-shoulder shot here and then cut around, the director says, that's right. Let's get a storyboard artist up here and draw it right here and now. It's almost like you're shooting. You're on the set and you're shooting on the fly and making continual changes. Some editors go so far as to use the tools in the Avid and even using things like Photoshop and After Effects to manipulate elements to get what they want. Some directors love that. It's very creative. Some directors say, you know, what are you doing to my sequence? You're messing it up. I already directed this. It's not what I wanted, which is a tricky thing to try to balance. But basically my point is animation editing has a creative element that you don't necessarily find in regular editing. Some people really like that. Some people don't.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Any other questions?
So if somebody was interested in being an animation editor, how would you go about gaining experience or getting into that field?
If you really want to make it a career goal to be in animation editing, there's no reason why you couldn't start in animation. Like I said, a lot of our editors have had live action experience. That's not necessarily because we look for that. It's just the way their careers have gone. If you want to actually start off in animation editing, our editorial department has some of the similar steps of a regular editorial department, which is your editor is at the top. They're often supported by a second editor of some kind, usually an associate editor. Depending upon who the editor of the show is, the associate may be responsible for cutting sound effects for the editor, or maybe that associate specializes in music, or maybe that associate is someone who the editor wants to have assemble the sequence first so that the editor does just the fine-tuning and the timing. Below the associate editors are assistant editors. Usually it's broken up between a lead who would be the first assistant and then other assistants below them. On most of our shows, it's a four-person team. It's the editor, associate, first assistant, and then just a regular assistant editor. One recent development that is bad news for people who are starting out is there used to be a job called apprentice editor that doesn't exist in the way that it did when I first started out in animation. It used to be that there were a lot of individual editorial functions, especially when we had to use film frequently for screenings. So we would hire apprentices, anyone who had an interest in editorial, anyone who seemed like they were half with it, we would give them an apprentice job, and it became their entry-level position into animation. That job has gone away for a couple of reasons. One is editorial no longer provides some of the support function that it used to in animation, which involves reading dialogue. Back in the old Disney days, editorial had to break down the dialogue frame by frame so that the animators knew that the character who speaks the word mother has the M start on frame 8, the O goes through frames 9 through 12. It was a very tedious part of the process, but not very difficult to do. So that was the job that fell to the lowest person in editorial. Now, because of the way CG works, and even for 2D traditional animators, they're using tools that break down the dialogue already. They can hear that the M starts on frame 3. They don't need someone in editorial to tell them that anymore. Another thing that's made some of the entry-level positions go away is because of the nature of the job of the editors, they pretty much all have their own Avid here. Like, we have four people, four Avids. Everyone has their own workstation. But what that's done is it's made editorial less collaborative in some ways, so that where you used to have an assistant feeding a film clip to an editor and you're looking over his shoulder looking at all his editorial decisions, instead you have everybody going off to separate rooms and closing their door, so that how do you learn what the person above you knows? It's more difficult now because you have to pick it up either intuitively or or through training on your own, and you don't have the same interaction as you used to. So the unfortunate thing for those who want to get into it, it's created big, giant steps and a little bit of a catch-22. We can't hire an assistant editor unless they've been through the process before, but the entry-level position of the apprentice no longer exists, so we can't. You know, there isn't a way for them to get into that like they used to. And for something like an assistant editor who wants to be an editor, well, how do they learn what it's like to be in a room with directors and to go through that process? Well, they don't know because they're in their own separate room doing a different job from the editor. So to make that leap from assistant to editor is now much bigger than it was before. So my advice, if anyone wants to get into this, is to get any editing experience any way they can. Even if it means taking a job in an editorial department that isn't working on an Avid. If you have to be a production assistant, at least it's a way to be around the editorial process. If there's a way to pick up experience in any way, it's always helpful to try to get a job elsewhere in editorial, if that makes sense.
Yes.
I still had another question. I'm kind of looking at a couple of schools in California, people that claim to have a high placement rate by teaching you Avid, like Avid skills and things like that, getting you certified on certain editing tools. I just know that, I mean, they can make it seem really big for somebody that's out here in Utah, but I'm wondering if those schools are actually even important to your career at all once you go into the California side or on the other coasts. Are schools like that really important with things like that get you Avid certified and teach you just basically how to use Avid?
I think they're very helpful in teaching you basic skills, but I don't think that I know of a school where if I saw that, I would say, oh, that person came from that school, well, then we want them because we know what that school does and what those people are like. When it comes time to fill jobs, like I said, when we're trying to get the lowest level assistant editor, it's someone that we have to have who's been through the process before. So the school itself doesn't say as much to me as has this person been around the Avid in a professional capacity enough to know what the process is like. There's also something that you gain from the professional experience rather than the training is the process itself is often very difficult, and it takes a certain type of person to go through. When we are looking at candidates, we're often less impressed with someone's resume, even someone who's been through a lot of movies. We're more impressed with who's worked around them and what do they have to say about that person's work ethic and about their ability to deal with difficult situations. And what are they like when Jeffrey Katzenberg is looking at them and saying, why didn't this come out the way I wanted it? Are they able to deal with those types of situations? Anyway, that's a longer, more involved answer to your question, I'm sure.
No, that's great. Thanks.
Got another question for you.
Great.
A lot of, like, film industry really is kind of tough on family life. How would you say your career is as far as with the editing on your family life? As work hours and pay, do you feel it has a big effect?
I've been able to make it work mostly because I'm indebted to a wife who has who's made it work. She knew even before we were married, and she knew when I was trying to pursue this as a career, that the life ahead of her was going to mean long hours. So she has psychologically accepted that this is the way it is. You know, we have a decent outside life, and we're able to make a living, but only because I'm willing to do the job that many people are unwilling to do. Like, I'm willing to get a call at 11 p.m. at night because someone is working in editorial and they have an issue. Or that it can be 6 o'clock at night, and I'll call my wife and say, all right, I think I can get out of here in about 10 minutes, and then something will happen, and I'll literally be at work for 3 extra hours. Solely because my wife is able to deal with situations like that, I consider that I have a pretty stable home life. What I try to do personally is, because I don't know whether I'm going to be here till 10 p.m. one night, whenever I can leave at 5 o'clock, which is really rare, but it does happen, I make sure I can leave and get out and spend several hours with the family to try to offset the continual long hours on the other side.
What is your typical work day?
A typical work day is it feels like no one ever leaves before 6. If anyone ever leaves by 6, everyone kind of applauds that because they like the fact, hey, you have a personal life that's great, but there's so much work. There's a little bit of a looking out of the corner of your eye like, hey, how did that person get off before 6? It's very unusual. Typically, all of editorial works until about 7 p.m., and whenever there's meetings, which is very frequent, it can go until about 8 or 9 o'clock. One of the problems about animation is, in the same way I try to get home as early as I can, but it's less frequent, that's kind of the way the rest of the industry is from what I understand. I've never worked in traditional live action, but you're supposed to work 20 hours a day for 6 weeks and then not work at all and then go find your personal life and get it back. In animation, it's like running a marathon, but a marathon where there are continual sprints because you have to hit mile number 15 by a certain time. That's another thing about animation that a lot of people are drawn towards it because there's a stability there that the rest of the industry doesn't have, but many people are not suited for it because they don't like the fact that you're working until 9 o'clock all night, every night, for weeks and weeks and weeks.
Yeah. Do you mind if I ask what the typical pay is for an editor in animation?
It's in most cases at or slightly above the union scale, which you can sometimes I get a little mixed up and a little behind how much that is. You can definitely check it out for a guide, but if my memory serves, I think scale is about 1300 or 1400 per week for an assistant, which for us is a little different because we typically have an editor work on a 50-hour guarantee. It doesn't affect the editor's pay because if they can leave early, they get their guarantee, which is rare that they leave early, of course, mm-hmm. but they're frequently working beyond that, so it's a non-issue. The only thing it does is it screws with the minimum, so I have to do the math calculation in my head. By the time you calculate that 50-hour week, we have assistant editors that are making at least $1,500 on the low end, and it goes upwards from there depending upon their experience. The higher end assistants, like those who've been around, they've had a lot of experience, their first assistants on shows, for example, it's about $1,800 or $1,900. And then most editors, whether that be associates or otherwise, make about $2,100 to $2,200, and it varies widely from there. Animation tends to not pay their editors quite as much as live action, but I understand live action, it's not uncommon for some editors to make $6,000-$7,000 a week.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have any editors in animation that make close to that.
Okay.
Does that give you an idea?
No, yeah, that does. What about as far as, like vacation time, any job benefits that come with doing a job like editing? What is that like?
I've only worked for union houses. When they first organized Sony Animation, it was non-union, but only for a very short time. So I've always worked in places where it's a pretty standard, and the benefits all come through the union. I think it's a standard 2-week vacation for everyone, and your benefits come through the union itself. And I They take very good care of their employees. I think the way the editors are treated very well by the union when it comes to benefits. I understand that you have a very wide choice of whoever you can choose for your healthcare provider, and it's covered to a fantastic level. I don't know if it's exactly 100%. The discussion happens from time to time whether a place should go union or not, and what you have is, on one hand, people say, I would rather have a 401k and the company benefits, versus people who say, I would rather have the union and stick with their benefits, deal with their health care, which is supposed to be top-notch, and give up the 401k for a pension. Some people don't like the idea of a pension in this day and age. Others really like that idea.
Okay. Are there any other questions?
I got a question. <All right. laughs> This might sound like a stupid question, but what kind of films have you worked on in the past kind of thing, or what has Sony produced? Because I'm not too familiar with Sony Animation.
Sony Animation, I probably should have told you more about the company. The movie we just released last year was Open Season.
Okay.
The Deer and the Bear movie with Martin Lawrence, Ashton Kutcher. Right now we're finishing up post-production on a penguin movie. It's a surfing penguin movie, Surf's Up, comes out June 8th. Behind those are two more movies we're working on that will be released either late 2008 or in 2009. The third movie is called Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, which is based on a semi-famous children's book. But if you know the children's book, it won't tell you much about the movie we're making. It's this charming story about a far-off place where food falls from the sky and the people don't have to worry about how they're going to eat because they have everything provided to them until the food goes awry and causes them problems. In our movie, it's a modern-day story where a scientist tries to solve world hunger and it goes awry. And it's a satire of sorts of big action movies. So it's like Armageddon with food, kind of a thing. The movie behind that is Hotel Transylvania, which is sort of a monster movie satire, but it's really about where did the classic movie monsters go? And the answer is they've been living in this one particular place, and they're waiting for the time to someday spring out in the world. And they come to the realization that what's going on in the real world is more horrific than what they were to people back in the 20s and 30s and 40s. Sony Animation, which I mentioned was formed around 2002, 2003, was designed to be a sister company to Sony Pictures Imageworks, which is the visual effects company that makes Spider-Man, Polar Express, Superman. The idea was many people in visual effects want to do character animation, and visual effects companies also want the stability that's brought by lots of animation projects. And what we as an animation studio want is the ability to have resources in animation that don't require us to hire 1,000 people to get a movie done. So it's a relationship between a company that already exists with visual effects artists and an animation company that does all of the creative development work, so that we can stay somewhat small on the animation side with, 50 employees, and then contract with ImageWorks when it comes time to produce them. And we're lucky that our movies get to be produced at ImageWorks in a situation where we don't have to have lots of outsourced studios or overseas animation. Literally, Open Season was 100% done at the building next to me here in Culver City, which is where my office is.
Then I have a last question kind of regarding this. I know you said you have long hours and it can go back and forth. How long do you usually, with one movie, work on it from start to finish as an editor?
If you start at the beginning and continue with it, it's a 3 to 4 year process. Sometimes the development goes on a little longer, but the movie, just to be produced in animation, usually takes a good solid 18 months. The question is, what do you need to do before that in order to produce your movie? In other words, the animation, whether it's drawn or CG, takes a year and a half. But do you need a year and a half or sometimes 2 or 3 years before that to thresh out story and character and get Martin Lawrence involved and have him take ownership of the character and get Eddie Murphy to do ad-libs? And if that part of the process takes longer, you can have a very prolonged production schedule where you hear stories about animation movies sometimes taking 5 or 6 years. It's not because they had animators working on it and never finishing. It's because the movie itself took a long time to find itself, for lack of a better term.
And then do you ever work on like kind of two projects at once, or do you just go from start to finish and then start the next project?
In my personal capacity, or the editor's? What was that?
In your personal position.
Oh, I used to work just on the show, and I, like when I was in Open Season, I did nothing but Open Season. But since I've been moved into the post-production director position, I'm working on all shows at all time. I'm particularly busy when it comes time to finish the show in post. But my job is setting up editorial so that the show can have everything it needs, making sure that editorial hits its milestones, like when it needs to do a full screening and all they have are their storyboards and their scratch dialogue. And then I have to coordinate the different activities in post, like the sound design, the music, and take the animation. And it's my responsibility to package the movie in such a way so that the studio can take delivery of it. It's basically my job to deliver the movie. So I'm most busy at the beginning and end, but because of the milestones and the screenings, I'm always working on every movie that they do here at Sony Animation.
Sweet.
Great. You guys have any other questions? Cool. Looks like we're about out of time anyways, Matt.
Okay.
And good luck with the whole Avid disaster.
Well, thanks. I heard one phone call come in, so it's probably a good time for me to go. But everyone there, if you guys can keep my number around, I'm very open and welcome to any additional questions you have, or if you literally need advice, or if you're in L.A. and would like to see the inside of one of these places, consider it an open invitation.
Excellent. Thanks a lot, Matt.
Thank you.
No problem.
All right. Thank you. Have a good day.
Bye.